systems are offline. Broadcasting to Lincoln and the world, you're listening to
The Crock.
KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Nancy from FM 95.7's Big Band program When Music Was Music. Do you remember the days when a 78 RPM record was the only kind of record you could buy?
I am old lovable Jack Kirk with an invitation then just for you. If you remember, or even if you don't, Nancy and I are sure you will enjoy our every Friday night big band program that we call When Music Was Music.
Give us a listen. We think you'll have a 78 RPM good time with us every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
5 seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
How are you? Hope you're having a great day. I hope you had a great weekend, even though the Huskers lost. That's just how it goes. I'm Captain Kirk. You are listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Y-Files, I think it's a great program. Yes, I'm being biased. I know it's my program. But yeah, it's a great program. It's a part of the show or part of KNNA that we take questions that maybe people like you. Uh-oh, this is going to start playing. I get too distracted, and I just forget what I'm doing. I think I got it, though, before it started. Anyways, it's a program where we take questions that maybe you, the listener, have, or even ones that I have myself, that we ask our guest pastors to answer to the best of their ability. Some questions that we have, we can't answer them. Sometimes they're just a mystery, like the Trinity. We talked about the Trinity the first time that you were on, Pastor Kirk, and sometimes it's just a mystery. But we've gone through all sorts of topics. The validity of the Bible, Jesus' existence, and if he was God, and yes, he is God. We've talked about creation and evolution with naturalism. Oh my goodness, we've talked about the Lord's Supper. Last week we talked about the medically diagnosed depression and anxiety and sin and worry. We actually had a sermon on that today here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. So yeah, we've got all sorts of questions that we've had asked on this program. And if you want to ask a question that has not been asked on this program yet, you can go to our Facebook page, The Y Files. That's the letter Y. You can go to our Facebook page and you can submit your question. And I do have some people who send some questions that I will get to this month. So stay tuned for those. So, yes, I do look at those questions and I do get those on the program. So you can go to our Facebook page, like our page, share our page, comment on our page, and send any questions that you might have that we can ask on your behalf. You can also go to thecrossn57.org and go to the Y-Files page, where you can go to the archived section of that, and you can listen to previously done shows if you missed it throughout the week. So you can go those and listen to that on demand. All of them are there. I think, if I remember right, all of them are there. There's like 20... This might be the 23rd episode. I have to go back and count. So we're doing pretty good. So this afternoon, joining me this afternoon is Pastor Jack Kirk, who served as a Navy chaplain from 1981 to 2001, and he also served two congregations after his retirement in Kansas. He's also the host of When Music Was Music here on KNNA, which is Friday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Thank you for the plug.
Yeah, anytime. And that's almost always live. I think it's 99% every year live.
Yes.
There's only been a couple of times that we recorded, and that was because of holidays or somebody, or you were gone or something like that. I don't remember what it was. So, yeah. Yeah, and you can also hear him throughout the radio with upcoming events, historical information, as well as providing this radio station with Classroom 1 and the daily prayers that we hear on a daily basis. So, Pastor Kirk, welcome back to the Y-Files.
Well, thank you, Jim. It seems like we were just doing this Friday night, and now yes. Our positions are switched.
Yes.
And you're the host of the program rather than me.
Yeah.
And it's good to be here, and we're looking forward to a good discussion, you and I hope our listeners as well.
So, on the Facebook page, I always try to let everybody know what the upcoming question, main question of the show, was going to be. And that's definitely what we're going to focus on this afternoon. Because usually I have about three or four questions ready on a weekly basis, but sometimes we only get to one.
When I've been up here, we've only gotten to one. Well,
that's just how it goes, because you think that some of these questions can be simple and they won't take very long, but then as you dive into it, you realize there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. So speaking of that, let's get to it. This is a listener-submitted question that was sent to me about 3 months ago, and I'm just now getting to it. This is how busy the questioning scheduling is on this program, The Y-Files. So here we go. If God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell? Let me say that one more time. If God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell?
Interesting way to state the question, with itself beginning with the assumption that God is a loving God, and the back half of the question almost sounds like, well, what kind of love is this that just lets me go to hell? Well, let people go to hell? I wonder when such a question is asked, the only place that can be consulted is the Word of God, because only God's Word addresses this. I could not think of anywhere else in American society that deals with concepts of heaven or hell. Prison, yes. Consequences for your actions, yes. But a hell? A hell regarding God and the things of God and the ultimate end of one or several individuals? That's not addressed anywhere except in God's Word. And what God reveals in His Word is information. Therefore, we cannot know in any other way except from God. There is no other source of information, only God's Word. So as the question was asked of me, why does God let people go to hell? Let's go to God's Word. And let me take you first to the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 5. And this is direct speech from the mouth of God himself. This God is a speaker here. Okay? Now, God says this. Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain in it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, what we would call the Old Testament church. And the men of Judah, his delightful plant. Thus he, God, looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress. Have you ever heard anything so foolish and so blind as the vine dressers of this parable? Then, not so amazingly at all, Jesus, in his earthly ministry, tells the same parable, to the chief priests and the elders of the people. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they understood that he was speaking about them. Now, this is recorded in Matthew chapter 21. But Jesus tells the parable, the Isaiah 5 text, with this exception. Jesus identifies the violence and bloodshed that God spoke through Isaiah. Bloodshed in the scriptures is always blood shed by violence. Even in the sacrifices, bloodshed was by violent, the violent death of the animal to be sacrificed. So, I think, Jim, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about what Jesus said in that parable and go a little bit farther.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jack Kirk. He is on the Wi-Fi answering the question, if God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell? And we're just diving into that. So don't go away. There's more great stuff coming up. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any cared to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and I am your host for the Y-Files. David's not here this afternoon. David has some other plans that he had to attend to. But even when he is here, sometimes he's awfully quiet, but he's here, and I'm always happy when he's here, so it's kind of sad that he's not. So yeah, David's not here. I'm doing this solo with Pastor Kirk, our guest here on the show, and we're talking about the question, if God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell? And we were just about to hear what Jesus had to say about that.
Yeah, since we've read what God said through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah about his vineyard, his church, and what goes on in that, Jesus tells the same parable of Isaiah 5 in Matthew chapter 21, except Jesus has this explanation connected with it. He identifies the violence and bloodshed that God spoke through prophet Isaiah. So listen carefully. Jesus begins in Matthew 21. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. This is how business is done. The landowner pays for the deluxe vineyard and it belongs to him. Vine dressers work in it, and the contract isn't too difficult to figure out. They work for the landowner. They tend the landowner's vines and the wine press and the landowner's grapes. And what they produce belongs to the landowner, as it would in any business. This is how business is done. These are the rules to be honored. These are the rules to be obeyed. But it's at this point in Jesus' parable where things go bizarrely wrong, as our Lord continues the parable. So Jesus continues by saying, now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Well, true to the arrangement, the landowner sends servants to collect the fruit of the vineyard. But rather than follow the rules of business, the vine dressers beat and kill the servants. And even more astounding, they don't flee, but they continue in the vineyard. More servants come, more servants die. The vine dressers want the landowner's vineyard. They don't just want the landowner and the rules that he's made. But what's the landowner to do? Jesus continues. Last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. Well, they'd better, but they don't. Jesus says, when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. So far, the Matthew 21 text. Now I ask the question again. Have you ever heard of anyone so foolish and so blind as these vine dressers? Could they actually imagine that the landowner would give them the vineyard if they killed his son? Who would be so crazy to believe that there would be no punishment for their crimes?
Unfortunately, there are people who think like that.
Or Jesus would never have spoken this parable.
That's right.
And the scribes and the Pharisees would never have identified themselves and their predecessors as the audience. So I ask again, whose vineyard is it, and what more could God have done? What more was quite evident to Jesus' listeners that day. Because then Jesus asked them, he says in Matthew 21, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Now guess how they respond. They say to Jesus, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease the vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their seasons. No one would be foolish enough to get rid of the son and expect to keep the vineyard, but they did. And further, they are the very ones who pronounced the judgment out of their own mouths. Now, many people who might be listening could be thinking, well, hey, I never did that. I didn't kill Jesus. Now, I don't have anything against Jesus. Yeah, you know, I think you're really all wet on this. Okay? Let's be clear here from the Word of God. Sin is serious stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean serious. When God says in His Word absolutely clear truths like, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. Even the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Or all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins it shall die. Fear not him who can kill only the body. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Scripture texts all in the most serious of language that there is. God's Word tells us how serious sin is. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't have a clue. In fact, apart from the Word of God, people barely know what sin even is, let alone know anything at all about its eternal consequences or what it truly means to offend God by our sins. How serious is sin? Well, that is clearly seen at Jesus' cross, where, as the hymn writer put it, where God the mighty maker bleeds and dies for man the creature's sin. Now figure that one out, huh? How serious is sin?
So maybe I'm jumping the gun here.
It might be.
but, you know, so there's a lot of law that you put in there. But then right just a moment ago, then you say that Jesus died for everyone. So someone who's maybe bordering on converting to a different religion or struggling in their Christianity or an atheist altogether or something like that, they might be asking, well, isn't God a forgiving God? Mm-hmm. So why should we be so afraid of hell if God's just going to forgive me? If Jesus just died on the cross, then I'm okay.
Well, again, the point is, are we looking inside of ourselves for that answer? Are we setting up God out of how we view God and how we think God should be viewed? Or are we going to the scriptures to hear what they say? And indeed, it is law and gospel.
Right.
If there is no preaching of the law, there will be no confrontation of an individual with his sin and the consequences of that. And sin and the consequences of it can only be known from the Word of God. So it is important to understand what the context is that man is in by his sins. Mm-hmm. Because if he doesn't realize that, if he doesn't realize that he is under condemnation because of his sins, that he is conceived and born in sin, that is his condition, that he won't need any gospel. He won't need any Savior. Savior from what? Why? What's the use?
So what about...
Man's condition is contingent upon him hearing the law of God so that he knows specifically the seriousness of his sin, mm-hmm. and why he's in that condition. So because people can't deliver themselves out of that.
We only have a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour break.
Yeah.
So someone who maybe right now knows in their heart that they are a sinner, and they might even be afraid that they will not be forgiven and they're the ones that's going to go to hell because of a lot of things that you said. You know, maybe they're misunderstanding what you're saying or misinterpreting it. They might be hearing, oh, well, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. They might be hearing that right now. Just throwing that out there. So what do we say to people who know that they are a sinner? How can we tell them that, you know, by believing in Jesus, they will be saved? I mean, what say you?
Well, in the parable, Jesus identifies that cry of distress that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah chapter 5, namely that of the people who suffer wrong, who are suffering because of their sins, or are realizing that there's nothing they can do about this sinful condition that they find themselves in. And that was part of the difficulty that was going on with the people of Israel when Jesus came. The righteous Pharisee, for example. I mean, you didn't get any more righteous than a Pharisee. They were the epitome of it. Mm-hmm. And if your righteousness did not exceed that of the Pharisees, Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So God's standard of righteousness couldn't be kept. And of course, the people could not. And they were regarded then as the outcasts and excluded from God's kingdom of heaven and eternal life. So there was that outcry, and there was that huge despair in people. And their leadership self-justified themselves under the law of God, a law, by the way, that was never given to justify them. It was given to show them their sins and the wrath of God that they were under. So a people foolish enough to believe that they could get rid of the sun and expect to keep the vineyard? And the question gets asked, why does God let people to go to hell? And why would people come to this despairing condition? Because they can't change their condition? They would ask the question then, their outcry of distress. Why does God let people go to hell? Okay? After the break, let's tackle that one directly.
Okay. This is the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and our guest pastor this afternoon is Pastor Kirk. And if you have a question for the Y-Files that you would like to have us ask on your behalf, go to our Facebook page. That's the Y-Files. That's the letter Y, the Y-Files. You can like our page, comment on our page, share our page, and also submit your questions there. So go to that Facebook page while we're on a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
5678.
Howdy, y'all. This is Ashley.
And this is Callie.
We're the host of Notes from the Stage, and we're here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
We love show tunes from musicals so much that we've decided to share just a few of them with you, like Lion King, Chicago.
Ooh, ooh.
What?
Well, don't forget about Wicked, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's going to be the bee's knees. So come join us right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m.
listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1 right here on KNNALP FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother. North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War Podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's The Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m., right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
KNNA The Cross on your car radio is amazing. What makes it more amazing is the ability to listen to 95.7 FM on the web at www.thecross957.org. Plus, you can check out our archived shows and listen to previous programs on demand. It's easy, it's educational, it's KNNA The Cross, thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome." This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world."
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk. Joining me this afternoon is Pastor Kirk, and we have been discussing the question of why does God let people go to hell? We're really getting in depth with this. And Pastor, I think you're building it up like a snowball, like a giant snowball. You had to start at one point to get some understanding in order to lead to the actual kind of answer to this question. So we've been taking, it's been a good half hour that we have been discussing this. But before we get to that, make sure that you go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files. That's just the letter Y. The Y-Files. And there you can, of course, like our page, share our page, and you can also comment and submit a question that you would like to have asked on your behalf on this program. This program is live from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Sundays, unless I can't be here, and then it's recorded. And if you miss a program that you wanted to listen to and you missed the replay as well, you can go to thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org. And you can listen to all of the episodes that we've had on this show on demand anywhere in the world as long as you've got internet. So, Pastor, we have been discussing why does God let people go to hell, and then I interjected with the question of, well, what do we tell people who are struggling in their sin and they believe that they're not saved and they want to be saved. They don't want to go to hell. And you said, well, we'll tackle that right after the break. So,
and we will. And we're going somewhere. And you're right. There's a buildup. How did you say it?
Snowball effect.
Yes. Yeah. Well, why does God let people go to hell? The context has been the vineyard of Israel. God's parable of the vineyard, both in Isaiah 5 and in the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 21. Did you know that Isaiah the prophet calls the content of the question this afternoon God's alien work? God's alien work. Pastor Mirandi had spoken of that number of times over here across maybe on the Y-Files and other programs. But this is not God's primary work. This is a work that God would prefer not to do.
So, okay, but before you continue, okay. I just want to let our listeners know that based on the discussions that we've had on this program, when we say alien work, we're not talking extraterrestrial.
No, we're not talking extraterrestrials
or
the immigration problem in America. This
That's
is something
right.
different. This is a work that is not the prime work of God. This is the consequential work, what happens. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But God's prime work is a God who is for us. God's prime work is to be rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption and forgiveness of our sins for us. God reveals himself in the scriptures as a God who delights to forgive. But sinners who don't realize the depth and seriousness of their sins and what awaits them by their sin, they won't need this God. They won't need Jesus. They won't seek him out. They have no need to listen to his word. As Jesus once said it, those who are well don't need a physician. Those who are sick. So those who are realizing the world of hurt that they are in by their sins. And that's probably why a lot of folks today would like to recreate God in their own image, because they will be much more kind to themselves and self-justifying. But we, from the Word of God, know better. We know not to think that for a minute. Adam found that out. And that didn't work out so well for him when the whole thing was cursed for his sake. And you and I must never take that so. St. Paul tells us, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he's wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. And we become wise through the scriptures. As Paul wrote to Timothy, the holy scriptures, the word of God, makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So yes, indeed, Jim, God's curse remains. It was God's curse upon the man. God was formed from the dirt of the earth. Man sinned and brought sin and death as the inheritance of all people, and the ground itself out of which man was made was cursed. Man, and from what he came, he comes into the world already sinful, what we call original sin, and under the wrath of God, better known as hell, as the punishment of God against the soul that sins. But God planted his vineyard. He planted his vineyard for sinners. He planted his vineyard to bring forth righteousness, a righteousness that was his work. It was his primary work, a righteousness that he himself would bring. God planted it. He set everything in place for it. What more could God have done? Well, here is what more God did. God gave his word of pardon and the forgiveness of sins and peace with God and life and restoration. And that from the beginning, from the very first promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 on, the first gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, but you shall bruise his heel. God came through on that promise, and he gave his only son into death for the life of the world. His son to be the eternal, once for everybody, payment for all sins. God raised Jesus from the dead for you and for me and for everyone to assure us that because he arose, we also shall rise out of death, mind you, out of death to eternal life with God. God gave to you and me and to the world his word, and he imbued it with the power to convict people of their sin and move them to repentance by the word of God's law and save them by God's word of gospel, that Christ died for them according to the scriptures. He was raised for them on the third day, and through him they have life in his name. And God declared in his word that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength or their own merits or their own works, but they are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into God's favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death made satisfaction for all of our sins. And this faith God imputes to us. He counts it as righteousness in his sight.
So does that mean that I can go to a convenience store and rob it, steal something, maybe even kill somebody and know that I'm going to be saved?
The law of God shows you your sin, and the law of God is quite clear. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal.
But I'm going to be forgiven, though.
Are you?
That's the question. And I, you know, that I've come across that, and a lot of people call that cheap grace. Well, that's cheap grace.
That is cheap grace, and it gets into the question of mortal and venial sins. Mm-hmm. You know, which sins are going to cause mortal problems, right, death-dealing problems.
So it doesn't mean that you can just go out and sin whatever you want.
Well, certainly not. Why would you want to try to play God like that? Why are you warned so severely by the law of God, the soul that sins, it shall die? Mm-hmm. Anyone who would play like that would be a fool. You think you can kill the Son and inherit the vineyard? You think you can treat the word of God like this and inherit the vineyard? You think you can deal death and stealing and whatever else perpetrated upon God's people and still inherit the vineyard? That's why God's law was so sharp, mm-hmm, in the mouth of Isaiah and in the mouth of Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes didn't take it very well when Jesus told them that parable. They are redeemed and saved at the great price of the Creator, his incarnation, his suffering, his death, his bleeding and dying on the cross to wash away the sins of the world, and now we would treat that so flippantly?
Yeah.
I think one is playing with the fire of hell at that point in time, which is why Jesus speaks the way he does, which is why the prophets spoke the way they did. Our God has given everything. What more could God have possibly done? He has given us his word to deliver this Christ to us. He has given his sacraments to deliver this Christ to us, to strengthen our faith, to increase our love for God and for our neighbor.
And we don't deserve it.
It is totally undeserved. God, we didn't plant the vineyard. It is by the grace of God that we were placed in the vineyard to work it. And what else would there be except to praise and thanks God, thanks be to God for the mercy that he has shown about us. That is his prime work, not sending people to hell, but that they would receive his grace with thanksgiving and believe in him, which is counted to us as righteousness, the one thing people should have lacked. It is for Christ's sake, his merits for us, that God justifies those who believe and they are received into grace for his sake.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Kirk here on the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We've got more on this topic coming up in just a bit. Don't go away. By the way, go to our Facebook page while you're waiting. Hey, Facebook, the Y-Files.
They work night and day. They protect you from harm. They keep our homes and our neighborhoods out of danger. They have labored much to keep our cities, towns, and roads safe. To our policemen and women, For the many sacrifices that you have made in order to keep us safe, we give you a very, very big thank you. This message is brought to you by KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, old lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and I'm joined here by Pastor Kirk. And we are going over the question, if God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell? We just had a fantastic segment just a moment ago about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. But we only got 10 minutes left to really get down to it. So do you think we could do it, or are we going to have to go into another episode?
Well, it's your program, son, so I guess we can go. We ended up by talking about the cheap grace.
Yes.
And why
yes.
would one become a Christian and then go ahead and sin? St. Paul answered that question in Romans 6. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For our baptism creates in us, by God's power and work by his word, connected with the water, a new heart within us, a new life within us, a new creation to live before God in righteousness, a righteousness that God counts our faith as. There is no other God who does this. There is no other God who does for his vineyard what this God does. There is no other God who loves like our God does. There is no other God who does what this God does for you and for me. And he doesn't do it for himself or for his own health. He does it for you and for me. He takes in our human flesh and blood for you and for me. He endures humility, that is, he sets aside all of his divine prerogatives and power and glory for a time to come into our world and to save you and me and all people from their sins. St. Paul said, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, like, hey, you know who I am, and I'm going to take hold of this whole thing right now, and I'm going to wipe you all out kind of a thing. That's his alien work. That's not our God. Our God is a God who is rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption, who delights to forgive, who comes in the flesh to redeem and to save us. And that's what St. Paul says. He came, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and that being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that is for us, to wash our sins away in his blood. No other God anywhere, no other God that anyone has ever heard of or invented on their own does this, and no mere person can. This is the God. This is the God who said to be foolish, and his religion is foolishness and nonsense. Be foolish like this in Christ.
Now, when you say other gods, you're not implying that there are other gods,
no.
are you?
No, like St. Paul said, not that there is another God,
yeah.
but if I can invent something. Well, all other gods, when you boil right down to it, is the idol with our own name.
Right, that's right.
There is only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the God we're talking about here.
And
Jesus...
And one more thing, just in case someone's just listening and missed your definition of God's alien work, you want to just briefly mention what that is again?
Yeah, God's alien work is not the prime work or movement and direction for us that God has. This is the consequence of refusal of that. And I'm going to talk about that here quite pointedly in just a second.
Okay.
Because this is what God doesn't want to do. One of our hymns in Lutheran Service Book talks about it in the one line that God is never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice, because God knows, as do we, not everyone will hear his word, not everyone will believe his word, not everyone will go along with any of the stuff that we're talking about tonight. That's the alien work of God, what is going to come, because sin requires payment. The payment was made by Christ. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. And that's God's word of warning, of law and gospel to us. Mm-hmm. So Jesus in the flesh is God's second person of the Trinity made flesh. God in the flesh for you and for me, for our redemption from sin. Jesus is the one who is the prime work of God for us, for he comes to redeem and save us from all of our sins and offenses against God. Jesus is he who is for you and for me, and what he did for you and for me is to reconcile us to God so that we can have peace with God forever and ever through Christ Jesus. Jesus and his death and resurrection for you and for me, therefore, is your victory over death and the grave. It is your heaven. It is your eternal life. It is God the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And that faith is even worked in you by God the Holy Spirit for you, who ignites that faith in you when you are baptized in the waters of holy baptism. They're connected with the Word of God. It is strengthened to you and I through preaching, through hearing the word of God into our own ears. It is strengthened to us in the Holy Supper of Jesus' body and blood. Jesus' own body and blood given to us in that sacrament. So I would ask the question again, what more is there for God to do for his vineyard, for you and for me and for the world, that he's not done already in it? Why? When God expected this to produce good grapes, that is, believers in him, why did it produce worthless ones, that is, unbelievers and doubters and critics? So, why does God let people go to hell? Well, if they do, it's not because God didn't do everything that he possibly could do. If they go to hell, it is because they refused a God who loves them so deeply and is for them and has been so from eternity. If they do, it's because they refuse the seed of the woman of Genesis 3:15, God's incarnate son Jesus. Refused what Jesus did for the world on the cross and by his death and resurrection to save people from their sins and the death and the wrath of God that is surely to come. It is because they refuse God's word. It's because they refuse God's church. It's because they refuse the preaching of God's word. Because they refuse his sacraments, because they refuse God's gift of forgiveness, of the Holy Spirit, of peace with God, of reconciliation with God forever and ever. They refuse the offer of God's forgiveness of sins by the washing of water and the word and holy baptism. They refuse God's kingdom. They didn't want God's eternal life. Refusal, which is the condition of sin and death into which all people are conceived and born into this world, the original sin. The very reasons why they desperately need God's word of love for them in the sure and certain promise of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus and the eternal life he earned for them at such a great price.
Now, I don't know if we have enough time for this particular question, but you kept mentioning how it's refusal and denial. But I've heard this question many times before. What about the people who have never heard of God, who have never heard of the word? No one has ever approached them, that kind of thing. I mean, wouldn't God have mercy on them and send them to heaven anyways? We only have like 3 minutes to do this. I don't know if we're going to get through it all. But
God's word says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. His apostle, St. Paul, says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they hear unless someone is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This is what God says in his word. There's few places to none that speak about, well, can God make a rock so big that even he can't move it? If a guy jumps off the Empire State Building, because I can't remember what the next tallest building is. I remember that from when I was a kid in school. Yeah. But if he jumps off the Empire State Building and, just before he hits the bottom, he repents. Is he saved? You know, these are the kind of questions that we would call sophistry. And you can sit and you can discuss these one way or the other, and you get in endless discussions about what there is. God binds us to his word. He says, blessed are those that hear the word of God and guard it. We have this word of God, and this word of God is extremely important to all people. And I think, to be quite frank about it, there has been sufficient cowardice on the part of many Christians believers to keep their mouths shut about Jesus and under a whole host of lame excuses why they didn't say a word. And there's been sufficient neglect in training up our children in the word and promises of God and have left it to somebody else and something else to do it for us. And now we find our children and we are in some pretty deep danger with that. So we ask, what about this? Why doesn't somebody do something about these people? Well, in fact, he has already done it all. And his name is Jesus. And he came to seek and to save the lost ones and to redeem them from sin and from death and from hell in his sufferings and death upon that cross. In him there is forgiveness, and it's there for everyone. It costs you nothing, gives you everything. It demands of you nothing. Jesus met all the demands for you. So what reason is there to keep your mouth shut about it? Open your mouth so that the word of God can go out and people can hear that they have a redeemer from all of this, the answer to all of their questions by his word. His name is Jesus, the incarnate word of God for you.
Pastor Kirk is here on the Y-Files. We have been discussing the question in length. It took the entire hour for if God is a loving God, why does God let people go to hell? If you missed that entire episode, if you give me about 20 minutes, so that will be about 3:20 here on September 9th, 2018. Just give me a few minutes to get it on the website, and you can listen to it on demand whenever you need to. Pastor Kirk, thank you for joining me here on the Y-Files.
It has been my pleasure, Jim, and we'll see you next Friday night at When Music Was Music.
Right. I am Captain Kirk. If you have a question that you'd like us to ask on your behalf, go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files, and submit your question there. But be sure that you like our page, share our page, comment on our page. Let people know that this program's out there because we do our best to answer the questions that you just might have. This is The Y-Files. We gotta go. See you later, Lincoln.